Number 11, clarifying the limits of keeping salmon for personal use during an open commercial fishery. This is a briefing and public hearing, so Deputy Chief. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, DC.
Nice to see you, boy.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. For the record, Mike Sensi, Deputy Chief, Law Enforcement Program Director, Deputy Director, members of the Commission. I'll give you a historical perspective first. Presently, commercial fishermen may take home a small part of their catch for personal consumption. All fish are required to be reported on a catch report called the fish receiving ticket. Those are formal documents sworn under penalty of perjury. And it doesn't matter whether that fish is intended for personal consumption or for a commercial sale. It's accounted in that fashion. And those fish are captured under a heading on the fish receiving ticket titled Take Home. And all the fish come out of the commercial share, regardless of use. So last summer, the commercial salmon trawlers asked for some clarification with respect to what the law allows, which is currently open to interpretation. There's been some longstanding confusion by officers and industry, and that compelled us to draft a regulation that, in our view, provides clear guidance and improved enforceability. The last thing I want is someone to inadvertently get sideways with the law. So the proposal before you, the proposal in your briefing book, and I will bring it up, it affects all commercial salmon sectors, whether they be trawlers, gill netters, reef net fishermen, purse seiners, and it clarifies how many salmon along with the salmon species that commercial harvesters may take home for personal consumption. So this is the current law, 220.354.030. And our consternation as law enforcement and the confusion at the industry level is the sentence retained for personal use more than the equivalent of one daily sport bag limit for the area being fished. So when law enforcement is asked for clarification by commercial fishermen in terms of how we intend to apply the law, this sentence causes me to ask a couple of questions. The first question is, does this language mean that commercial fishermen, whether they be salmon trawlers or the other sectors, are they constrained from taking home any fish for personal use until the sport season is open? If that's the interpretation, it's not being applied or enforced in that way. Using trawlers as an example, the decisions related to the recreational and commercial seasons and limits are made, as Dr. McIsaac understands, through the Pacific Fishery Management Council and then North of Falcon season-setting processes. So we might know what the sport season is going to look like. We might know what the limits are. But that hasn't been reflected into state law, into regulation, until after the commercial salmon troll fishery, as an example, is already underway. So one could argue in that kind of a case that until the commercial and sport seasons are reflected in regulations and open seasons for both overlap, the daily sport limit for salmon trawlers is therefore zero. So the second question that comes to mind is, does this rule allow for the possession of species prohibited for commercial purposes so long as they are taken home for personal consumption? You know, if I use the salmon trawlers again as an example, and I'm not being biased here, it's just easier for me to think in these terms. A common management approach is to maximize the Chinook harvest for commercial salmon trawlers and then maximize coho for the sports fishery. So you're going to have different retention regulations. So it, of course, is going to result in possession prohibitions that are different between the two sectors, and it all depends on what the management goal is. So should the department decide, for instance, to restrict the possession of a species for commercial purposes to meet an allocation or a conservation goal, the current rule then could be construed, this rule, to allow possession anyway, so long as that fish is set aside for personal use. I get to guess what the intent is. That's not a good landscape for me. So I don't think that was ever the intent of the current regulation. Certainly not going to be the intent of any amendments that that you see. And if it were, it'd seriously conflict with other commercial possession laws and my ability to enforce the law. I want to be clear, I'm not offering this example as a problem that I'm facing. I've been knocking around for 30 years, and I've never had a commercial fisherman try to offer that excuse. And so I probably just I just highlighted a weakness. But nonetheless, it exists, and we have an opportunity to fix a hole. So there's another challenge here, and that's that sport seasons and limits, they're a moving target because they can be different between areas. We all know this. And this would be the only example that I could think of where one sector has to rely on another sector's regulations in order to understand whether they're in compliance or not. So the amendment that's in your briefing book, and you'll see the amendment, eliminates tying the sport bag limit to personal use in the commercial fishery, making the personal use amount to simply three fish, three salmon, provided that they're legal to possess when they're taken with that particular commercial gear in the first place. So during the public comment period, we received some objections to our proposal, and they were rooted in...
Excuse me, Deputy Chief, yeah.
Sorry, Mike. So when we're talking about the three fish, just to be clear, can the three fish be bycatch?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Those fish would be lawful for a commercial sale, or they can't be possessed. That's the intent. That's always been the intent. But we've got some flaws. So thank you, Commissioner, for that question. So I thought this was going to be easy. It's not. Bear with me. I think you've probably seen all the emails. So there's concern rooted in three areas. There's a philosophy that all commercial fish caught in a commercial fishery should be sold. And there shouldn't be any personal use at the commercial harvester level for consumption. There's also the concern that commercial harvesters are going to get more opportunity beyond what was allocated to that commercial fishery in the first place. And then there's a remaining concern that the agency lacked the legal authority to pass the existing permanent rule, and so therefore doesn't have the authority to amend, as I'm suggesting. So before this week, I had three emails from individuals and one letter from an advocacy group that opposed this measure, and by Tuesday of this week, that changed. Sorry, Tammy. I believe the commission has now received 100 emails, the majority of which are focused. They seem to be form-like emails, but they're focused on two related views. Simplify rulemaking for law enforcement by eliminating the opportunity altogether to use commercial catch for personal use outright. And number two, there's a belief that a fair and equitable treatment for all fisheries can only be achieved by elimination of this take-home or personal use provision. The first concern expressed, all fish caught in the commercial fishery should be sold. That's ultimately up to you, right? You discuss that and you determine that. So, in other words, should any of the commercial catch be allowed to be available for personal use if a commercial harvester so desires? And if so, how much? Again, we've represented three fish, provided they're lawfully to retain with that commercial gear during that commercial season in the first place. Relative to the concern over whether the whether this provides additional opportunity, I think there's definitely been some misunderstanding here, and frankly, I could have been more clear in the public notification or rulemaking that this measure does not provide any additional opportunity or give a sector a larger share of the catch. It's just a matter of clarifying what proportion can possibly be used for personal consumption. So it's already obligated to the commercial sector. A third issue raised, and I apologize ahead of time, but I want to spend some time here on this, reflected in a letter sent to us by the Twin Harbors Fish and Wildlife Advocacy. It focuses on the agency's statutory authority and constitutional issues. We forwarded the letter to our Attorney General's office, and we asked them to review the legal issues that were raised. They've concluded that the agency is on solid legal ground, both with regard to the existing regulation and the proposed amendment. And we'll include some of the AG's response in a letter or to the letter in any explanatory statement accompanying the regulation, but I need to go over a couple general legal points very briefly. This is there's a fundamental misconception that the regulation grants some privilege, taking and keeping additional fish beyond normal commercial harvest. It's far more accurate to say that the regulation actually constrains otherwise fully lawful conduct, and that's the disposition of commercial harvest through some bartering arrangement. Without this particular regulation, there's no provision in law mandating how lawfully harvested and accounted for harvest is disposed of. The one exception may be in the there's no exception. Once commercially caught salmon are lawfully harvested and they're landed and they're accounted for, it can be bartered by the license holder to crew members or his or her own household rather than being sold in the normal fish dealing, buying, broker arrangement that you might think of. And we call this take-home catch. And the regulation actually prescribes how much can be disposed of in that manner. Without that regulation, there's no limit with regard to how many fish could be taken home for a personal use purpose. Because this regulation refers to personal use, and that's where some of the confusion and the opposition argument comes from, that's a defined term, right? It means not for further sale. Some people have confused this with the granting of a sport share on top of any commercial share. That's not the case. The take-home fish being regulated are lawful commercial catch. They're limited by the normal commercial license and season rules, fully accounted for, and they come out of the commercial share. And the amount we see taken home is a very small part of the overall reported catch. Mr. Kurt Hughes took a look at our history, and I can provide you his data if you'd like to see it later. I didn't bring copies, but I'll use an example. In the troll fishery, the reported take-home total was 1,953 salmon over 5 years. He'll throw an eraser at me if I get it wrong, if he's still back there. For an average number of two Chinook or two salmon or three coho or one pink salmon over 5 years. So two salmon is the average taken home for personal use when fish are taken home. Now, given the fleet size, it's probably less than seven salmon per boat per fishing season with respect to salmon trawlers, far below what could have been taken home. So you might be thinking, well, what's the need? They're taking home fewer fish than maybe potentially what they're allowed to take here. Is it needed? I don't believe that's the case. It's a matter of efficiency, and it's often driven by price. I know that if my wife wanted me to bring home a Chinook salmon, troll caught Chinook salmon, when the the price was for dinner, when the price was $10 per pound, my response would be go buy a ribeye steak. Except my delivery would be more suggestive in nature, and I'd try to make it her idea. But nonetheless, these folks generally fish toward the end of the season and then go, okay, there's a family expectation that, you know, we're going to have some salmon. We're going to enjoy some salmon as a family. And so that's generally when a lot of these fish are caught or kept in, for that purpose. So calling them personal use just means they're ending up in the refrigerator or a frying pan of someone's home. That happens with any other fish that's harvested, whether it's recreational or it's the more typical commercial setting where the commercial catch gets the end consumer from a harvester working through a middleman. So take-home simply eliminates the middleman. It reflects a direct commercial disposition to deckhands or the skipper. It's really no different than if the fisherman sold directly to the consumer off the boat, except that the fisherman is paying himself or his deckhands in fish. Indeed, our statute recognizes bartering as a specific form of commercial transaction relating to disposition of commercial harvest. The reason we regulate take-home catch at all is to ensure proper catch accounting and to avoid enforcement issues in possession of catch that are away from the landing site. You know, there isn't a situation where I don't have paperwork, buying fish at Safeway notwithstanding, where I can trace that product back to origin. So the proposed amendment actually draws a sharper distinction between commercial and sport fishing regimes by eliminating any ambiguity that the commercial take-home catch could be inconsistent with restrictions imposed on the commercial harvester, that other catch could be taken home if it was consistent with existing fishing rules. So to summarize, and I'm almost at the end here, we had a half an hour, but I think I'm ahead of time. That's right. I forgot about all the in my own moment. The regulation is amended actually limits take-home catch, then creating some new right. I want to make that clear. And it deals with lawful commercial catch, again, consistent with all the restrictions, etc. This slide shows how the rules being proposed after amendments. I think I covered the elements. I won't do it again. There's no action scheduled at this time, but we do intend to file a non-substantive revision to the proposed rule and then work with Assistant Attorney General Mr. Grossman to draft a concise explanatory statement for the final rule, which you could consider for the for adoption in March, and then it could be effective 30 days after that in time, at least for the earliest commercial ocean season. Some of the amendments, again, they're not going to be substantive. They're technical, but we'll tighten things up. And I use some wrong terms. I reference. I reference the wrong license types in one of the subsections. So, yes, ma'am.
Another question, Mike. I've been with you every step of the way, and to me, this is fish law is very, very, very complicated. This to me seems absolutely common sense. So, I understand that it's a big deal, and there's lots of people that have an opinion, but to me this is easy. The question that I have, though, I was with you every step of the way until you mentioned that a captain could pay his deckhands in fish. As I read the regulation, it appears to entitle the deckhands to up to three fish, and I think that's a distinction, and I wonder what the intention here is.
Thank you, Commissioner. I guess maybe it's a chicken and an egg thing. I mean, at the end of the day, that deckhand's getting paid for service. And whether it's, that service in part is paid for through fish as a bonus after it's accounted for, or it's in the form of a paycheck after it's sold, in my view, it's the same. But I think if I understand where you're coming from, the commercial harvester owns the fish, and then once the deckhand receives it, it's based on the choice of the commercial harvester who has ownership in that legally caught fish. Did I completely miss your point?
No, you completely got my point. I think my other point is that possibly we might ask Mr. Grossman to look at that and see if the language could be clarified so that other people get the point. Just a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Did you guys have a question?
No.
Go, Mike. Just ignore them. Go on.
I'm pretty much done, Mr. Chair. I'm just waiting for questions.
Wait, you're guessing.
Yes, I have two questions. The first one is a process question. You mentioned this is not a decision matter. It doesn't show up as a decision in the future that I can see here. It doesn't show up on February 16th, doesn't show up in March, doesn't show up again. So this question of is this a matter of guidance, that the commission's hearing this to provide guidance, or or is there really a decision point where this is coming back to the commission later?
I might not understand the process. I'm not sure how we get it on the agenda for possible rule adoption or consideration in March, but that's my desire.
Yeah.
Now, this is a good point in terms of procedure, and Mike, you referred to having this reviewed by the AG staff for formal wording and answers some of the wording. So it needs to go through that process, too, before it's formally presented, I think, for a vote. I would consider this a briefing. And so then the next step would be to go through the AG's review before it's presented to the commission, I think, for adoption. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chair, thank you. So I didn't intend you to consider adoption today just because of, the opposition we received. I wanted to make sure that you heard fully from the public, and then, you know, maybe there's some other things that I need to consider before I present a final product to you. But I know that at a minimum, there's some clarifications that I need to make in the rule.
There's the time frame with the opening of the seasons, too.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, my second question might be in that clarification zone. So on your slide that gets to the commercial season is open for the species taken. There's a slide up that has that on there somewhere. So it allows for a troller or the crew to retain a fish if the commercial season is open for the species taken. So there's been some occasions in the past when there's been a 5 days on, 2 days off, a 3 days on, 2 days off, and if the closure's at 6 p.m. or at sundown, that the boat will fish all the way to the deadline, and then the season is closed while they're transiting back to the dock, and they unload, and daughter's having a wedding a week from there, and they want to take one home. And so that wording is open for the species. Is that a problem at all that you've thought about?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. McIsaac, good catch, no pun intended. The intent is to permit a take-home allowance where the salmon had been harvested during an open season. And that will be one of the clarifications that we make along with Commissioner Baker's suggestion.
Yeah, we do have a number of public comments. Are you done?
Yes, sir. I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And we do, as I said, so again, two at a time. Ron, you're first up now, and then Greg Mueller, please. Did Ron disappear? Oh, there you are. No, you're up first, Ron.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is it getting late in the day for everybody already here?
Siesta. I'd just like to talk about this take-home fish real quickly. First, I want to thank Deputy Chief Mike Cincy. We've got a long history for many years of working on a lot of issues. And Mike's made it a take of his own to go in and clean up a lot of rules, because there's a lot of fuzzy rules. And, for instance, tuna. Tuna had never been set up properly on how many rods you could use to go tuna fishing. Washington State, what I was told, is if you come in, you only better be using one rod per person. But anywhere else you go in the world, it's unlimited rods, because you have so much gear out there trolling, trying to find that school. Well, Mike finally just said, oh, you know what, I'm going to go fishing. He went out fishing, figured out that was a good thing. And he came back and clarified the rules that you can use multiple rods. And this here is just another cleanup, the way I look at it, to make sure that it's understood what the rules are so that they can be adopted properly. I think we should probably allow the commercials to deal with their fish however they want. Like Mike said, would you take a salmon over a whole prime rib to take home? It's because it's about the same cost, about a $100 fish. We've worked with the commercials for many, many years. We've traded fish back and forth on the coast to keep us fishing. This last year, they gave us an extra 3,000 coho that kept us on the water a couple extra weeks, or we were off the water. We have a relationship with them, a working relationship. And I just don't think that three fish per trip is anything that we don't even need to be meddling in their business, the recreationals, I don't think. I think they should be able to do what they want with their fish. Three fish, I don't think, is too much to take home. If they want to sell it and take three fish and go get three prime ribs, so be it. But it comes out of their own quota. And I think, in all honesty, I don't even think it should be an issue. In the Puget Sound, coho and Chinook, non-tribal harvest is a little one on the Samish and a little one on the Hood Canal. That's it. So inside the Puget Sound is not an issue. If they want to take home a chum or a pink, let them. But I think out on the coast, you know, I think it's viable. I don't think it should be a problem. I think we should leave it up to them and shouldn't be meddling in their business. They don't meddle in ours. And we have, like I said, a long-standing relationship. Since 1996, we've been trading fish back and forth on the coast so we can keep fishing. There's been a lot of times they've just flat out given us the fish so we could fish. So I'd just like to thank them for what we've been able to achieve.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Greg King and then Greg Mueller. You're first.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm Greg Mueller, representing the Washington Trollers Association as president and executive director and any other title they feel like hanging on me. So I'd like to thank Deputy Chief Mike Cincy for working with the industry and his presentation to try and clarify what's been going on. After identifying issues with the current laws written concerning take-home fish for the North of Falcon commercial troll fishery, Deputy Chief Enforcement Mike Sensi, Captain Dan Chadwick, Ocean Troll Manager Wendy Bigley, WDF&W Community Outreach Becky McRoberts, myself, Jim Olson, representing the industry, met in Montesano to formulate new language that is relevant to today's fishery. The laws written tied the take-home provision for the troll fishery to the sports season and limit. At the time the law was written, the commercial troll fishery and sports season ran parallel. That's no longer the case. Our seasons don't always run at the same time. The troll fishery, for instance, during our season, especially the summer, we're forced to have in-season management. The guys never know from one week to the next exactly how our season is going to be. And the sport bag limit no longer relates to the commercial troll-targeted fish. To explain the process, the North of Falcon troll fishery is a federally managed and regulated fishery. We conduct business outside the 3-mile territorial waters of the state of Washington. The salmon North of Falcon troll fishery harvests are allocated to the trollers through the framework management plan and the Pacific Fisheries Management Council process. Quite frankly, they're our fish. They were allocated to our fishery. It's our business how we take those fish. We don't tell the sport fishermen how to take their fish. Point of interest, the state of Washington is the only state that regulates take-home fish for the troll fishery. We have members in Oregon, or members from Oregon, that moor their boats in Owako and have taken home more than the allowed in Washington, not knowing there was a regulation, and ended up with a citation. So there is there has been a problem there. There was some misinformation put out by one of the anti-commercial sport groups that told their members that the new language allowed for 3 fish a day. It's not a day. Commercial trollers put in a trip on the ocean 3, 4, 5 days, and the new language allows for 3 fish per landing, which would be the end of your trip. It somewhat shows some of the anti-commercial bias that still exists, and that's for no reason at all. We're a for-profit industry. We don't abuse the privilege, as Deputy Sensi's testimony proved. We do not abuse the take-home privilege. And I did provide a copy of a voided fish ticket for everybody, so you can see the fish are accounted for. They do come off the commercial quota, and as we've all had a laugh before, when salmon got to a high of $11.40 a pound last spring, you could buy 2 pounds of rib steak, and nobody was taking home king salmon, believe me.
Thanks, Greg.
I encourage your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Sounds like a grocery store going up here, a butcher shop. Speaking of butcher shops, Butch and Greg.
Hi, my name's Greg King, friends of the Callots and Callots Ad Hoc Committee. I'd like to thank Mike Sensi. I've known Mike Sensi since he worked on a Blue Creek catchery years and years ago. You know, thank you, Mike, for making some clarification on this thing. And, you know, there's some bad propaganda out there coming from the sports fishing side on this, giving these guys a raw deal. And I tell you, if I came home with 3 fish to my wife, she'd kick my rear. How are you going to pay the rent? What, the landlord isn't going to take any fish. Okay? And these guys work hard. They go out for, like Greg said, 3, 4, 5 days. They fish. They want to bring home 3 fish. You know, maybe they got Betty and Bill down the street. They're an 85-year-old guy, and he loves salmon, and he wants a piece of salmon. So out of the kindness of heart, they take it down the street. Maybe he wants to donate it to his local church or a senior center. I mean, what does it matter what these guys do with that fish. They're allocated. That's their quota. That's what they get. These guys work hard. They're the most regulated of anybody in the state. I mean, Mike asking for clarification, that's great, you know, and these guys are here to find out that clarification today. You never see sportsmen do that. They want you to simplify the rules like we've been trying to do, you know. And I think if they want to take home three fish, let them take home three fish. My God, you know. And we're getting some bad propaganda. I've seen it on Facebook page that they're saying that these guys are taking three fish a day home. And that's just terrible propaganda. I don't do that. I'm here to work with this commission and my fellow citizens, that be the commercials, the chartered boats, the sports, and the tribes. And we need to make this pie bigger. We need to quit beating each other up on this damn thing, you know? And for this one group to come in here, and I'll say it, from Texas, the CCA, and do this and make me look bad as a sportsman, is just I can't handle it, you know. I just can't take it. I'm not that kind of person. I want to work with these guys, and that's just, you know, they're putting this lousy propaganda out, and it makes me look bad in their eyes, Butch's eyes, crabbers, commercial crabbers, all of them. You know, I might get some lumps from my sports fishing side, but I'll take them. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Jim Olson, please. And Bruce, Butch, I keep calling him Bruce.
Bruce, Chuck,
and
Bruce. Don't worry.
Oh, we have the same initials, BS, that's right, so that's it.
Right. If it was gold, we both could be millionaires. My name's Butch Smith. I got many hats, and I'm sitting in the seat today as a Port Commissioner from Owaco, elected official. And I'm also here for the Owaco Charter Association and the Westport Charter Association. And at the end of this, I'm going to mention that I'm chairman of the Salmon and Subpanel Advisory to the Council, which is I'll get into. I learned one thing today Chief Assistant Chief Mike Cincy, I am so glad he went into police work instead of marriage counseling, because I believe the divorce rate would be a lot higher in this country if he was a marriage counselor. But back to the task at hand here. You know, Greg King here, what a breath of fresh air. You guys sit up here. I listen. I don't have a life, so I listen to the commission meetings at 2 o'clock in the morning, and what you guys hear and see and put out, you know, commercial against the sport, this and that. Sometimes it makes me want to puke. The coastal fishermen have had to learn to work together. They had to learn how to play in the same sandbox together for many years. I'll give you an example. When Jim Olson and I, there he is, first came up, each industry would let us sit if we had leftover quota. It didn't matter who was fishing. You're tied to the dock. Jim and I decided that wasn't working too well after 1994 when we all sat at the dock. We have traded up, not even a trade. One year the trollers gave the sport fisheries of the ocean 20,000 fish, 20,000 coho to keep us open. And what a reach, because then Jim had to believe that I would reciprocate if we had the chance. It didn't always work that way prior to our reign of terror. 3 years later, I gave him 5,000 Chinook that we weren't going to use. And it kept them open. It kept our coastal communities going. We are different than the inland people. God bless them. They come fishing with us. They use our coast. We love them. But we are different than the inland user groups in a lot of different ways. And one day, hopefully we can get back to reality in the inland and knowing that fighting over somebody else's piece of pie is just not a good way to do business. It's a terrible way to do business. We have a way to make the pie bigger. They've all stole my material, but they're all going to say it. Making the pie bigger for everyone ultimately will keep us all in the water and fishing. Real quick, I'm going to use the elected official, Mr. Smith, just for a second. That's why I said that. That's why I said that. I want you guys, and I'm inviting you, I know I've seen you around the council process through the North of Falcon. April, whatever it is, Dr. McIsaac can tell you, there's the council meeting in Portland, Oregon, right at the Sheridan Airport. I invite you and there's a missing commissioner to come in, what the law will allow, and sit in the Salmon Advisory Subpanel. The Salmon Advisory Subpanel is made of four states, California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And on that panel are commercial trawlers, gill netters, tribal members, conservation person, sportsmen, charter guys from all the states, and Idaho. And see how we work together. You do not see what you guys see. I mean, you guys see a terrible, in my opinion, picture of me, or I. But in that room, you'll see people working together how to keep everybody on the water and everybody fishing. I've been proudly been chairman of that commission, or that panel, since 2004. Dr. McIsaac, you don't have to go because you've witnessed it for however many years. But I truly think that you're going to be there probably for the Puget Sound process. But I truly think, and I know you guys put so much time in, believe me, but I think if you want to get a whole picture on how the whole world, the ABC groups that come out here and tell you that take a tax on my area, my district, on my friends, my family, my neighbors, put them out of business and what have you, it's time we stop that. And it's time we stop giving them all the credence for that. It just ain't right, you know? And there's a different world out there that you guys, some of you haven't seen. And I invite you, personally invite you to come and sit and see that. It's amazing how, and we've had to, it wasn't always like that. With a bolt decision and all that stuff before then. I mean, there'd be fist fights out in the hallway. But it's not like that anymore, because if we didn't learn how to get together, we wouldn't be here today. And so that's my statement, and please take me up on my invitation and sit in a meeting for an hour and just see how the other half of the world works. Thank you.
Thanks, Butch. Tammy will share the dates and all of that, and we'll see. It's a nice offer. Thank you very much, and thank you for your words. Norm Reinhardt and Jim.
Mr. Chair and council members and director, my name is Jim Olson. I am Butch's counterpart on the Salmon Advisory Subpanel. And it is true, when I first started that, we'd go out in the hall and my group would say, "You don't do that." His group would say, "You don't do that." But we sat down and we found out that working together provides a lot more money for our coastal communities, which are very important. So, now to read the long statement I got. So, commercial fishers have been allowed to take home fish and shellfish for personal use for decades. However, the rule is unclear, where different interpretations have caused some confusion. First, the fish are accounted for on the fish tickets. That doesn't change. Current law links limits or to whatever the sport limit is. Commercial industry asked DFW to examine the reasonableness of this and also clarify some of the grayness in the current rule. Strictly read, the rule would prohibit any fish taken during an open commercial season from being counted as take-home when the sport season is closed. When it is open, the commercial fish take-home limit is whatever the sport limit is, which could be as many as 4 to 6 coho during the Willapa Bay recreational season, given a hard cap on the number of fish takes the guesswork out of it. Under the current rule, a commercial fisherman could legally take his home as many as they wanted, provided they paid the fish tax, which is virtually nothing. So we support Mike Cincy's rewriting of the rule.
Thank you.
And please come down and visit us. You'd love it.
All these invitations and spirit of cooperation, I don't know. We can't handle it. We need to package this emotion and send it to D.C. Bob Lake and Norm, my friend.
My name is Norm Reinhardt. I'm the president of the Kitsap Pogie Club, and I may be here to present a somewhat different perspective on this proposed rule change. But before I get to that, congratulations, Mr. Storer, on your appointment as acting director. I would like to thank the commission, specifically the commissioner that's not here, Mr. I believe is Caney, and his suggestion about providing clarity to the public, a more open format when you broadcast your fish subcommittee meetings about the Puget Sound Harbor Management Plan that's currently being considered. It did a great deal to diffuse the anxiety that was existing within the sports community. I spent a whole week at the Puyallup Sportsman Show on a different committee that I sit on for the department, and I was surprised at the positive reception that I perceived from the public in that effort, in your efforts to provide clarity to the public as to what's going on. I hope that you continue to do that and expand that. It may help diffuse the current anxiety that exists in the recreational community. In terms of this three fish thing, you know, the commercial fleet has their own quota, and I have no problem with how they spend their fish. They have that right. They spend the money. They have a business. If they want to barter their fish for steak, that's their business. What isn't clear to me is this. One, we were talking about often up here, the testimony was about trawlers. We also have gill netters. And in there, their landings are not every 3 or 4 days. Their landings are accounted in terms of hour in hours, 12-hour periods, 24-hour periods. So that puts a little bit of different perspective in terms of keep. But again, as long as it comes out of their quota, I have no problem with that. What I'm here to ask is that we clarify this proposal by Deputy Director Sense, or Deputy, the game warden there. You know, the guy that comes out of the bushes and asks me for my license.
The guy with the gun.
Yeah, the guy with the gun. But at any rate, what isn't clear to me in this, and some of the testimony did clarify it, but what's the problem is how this is written. I don't see the clarity as to the impacts that are involved with this fishery. All these fisheries are predicated on ESA impacts, whether it's for a recreational component or a commercial component. I don't see that spelled out in this proposal. I read it, I understand that it's reported on the fish ticket, but after that report is on the fish ticket, when it goes into that computer, are those three fish being accrued as recreational impacts, or are they being construed as commercial impacts in terms of ESA fisheries? So I would ask that be clarified to the public, that it's very clear that these are commercial impacts, that they in no way impact the recreational fleet's ability to prosecute their half of the fishery. Thank you.
Thanks, Norm. And Steve Wilson, please. And Bob.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, and congratulations, Director Storer. My name is Bob Lake, and I don't have a lot to say about this, but to answer Norm's question there, in Deputy Chief Sensi's testimony, he stated that the commercial fish goes on a commercial fish ticket. That's all counted accordingly. And I can personally tell you that I always personally put my fish down on a fish ticket. I don't want some chicken ticket for not recording the fish. It's not worth it to me for the hassle.
Never written any of those, Bob. He's got three tickets, but never
keep moving, Bob.
No, but the whole thing is
you're
the whole point.
Hole, no.
Well, I didn't hear it all what he said, but that's okay. But anyway, the thing is, you know, we record these fish, we record them, and I'll give you a prime example. Guys were talking about $10 a pound and such. That's true, but on the same token, on our gillnet fishery, sometimes we're going to get a number two. They only want to pay you 75 cents or a buck a pound for them. Hey, I'll take them home and eat them. There's nothing wrong with meat. You're all red meated. That's the whole thing, you know. But they will not sell for fresh market fish, and that's what happens. So, I mean, and if I can take a fish home that's worth, you know, $1 a pound, that's cheaper than hamburger. My God. Look at the price of hamburgers on sale for $3 a pound. And I wouldn't even eat that junk. Huh?
Your wife wanted to make spaghetti.
I don't have a wife.
Maybe get one.
No, don't want one. But that being said, I think it's good. We need clarification on some of these things and to have it down there, but I think they should be put on fish tickets so they are recorded. And something else I've always done, if I had a seal bite, rather than throw it overboard, I took it home and I marked it down as a take-home fish. And I get quite a number of seal bites. And if they just nip the belly out of a gillnet fish, we can't sell it. So what do? Throw it over? Well, that's a waste. It's a waste of food. That, and if I can't eat it, I've got neighbors that can, you know. And I appreciate that. So I think that really makes people need to really take stock in what Butch said about people working together.
Excuse me. We renamed you today, Butch.
Yeah, well, better what I used to call him.
Grandpa's good today.
But anyway, one question. Does that include sturgeon to take home? That needs to be clarified. If we can take sturgeon home, That's something that needs to be clarified because they need to be recorded also. So to get clarification on that, that's one thing I would suggest.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Thank you. And Steve, you're the last one for this part.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My name is Steve Wilson to the Commission, and Mr. Storg, welcome aboard. I'm a commercial salmon troller, have been for this will be my 30th year. My wife forced me into commercialing because she couldn't understand why I could go out and catch all I legally could recreationally and then give them away. She wanted me to get paid for them, and so 30 years ago I started commercialing. Approximately 10, 12 years ago I began buying my own fish through the governmental processes and Department of Revenue. And in that process I learned the pitfalls of take-home fish. As many people as I asked in the department what constituted a take-home fish, I got different answers. I want to thank Ron Gardner. You brought attention to Mike Cincy earlier for being one of those people that doesn't like poorly written rules that are difficult to understand at best, because he has grabbed a hold of one of those rules. In my experience in buying fish from other fishermen that want those fish held themselves, I have to go through an incredible amount of paperwork and writing out another invoice so that they're not stopped down the road by an enforcement person that wonders where those fish came from. It's redundant paperwork that's unnecessary. And so in conclusion, I support Mike's efforts. I want to appreciate also Greg Mueller, my troller friend, and as a representative of the Secretary of the Coastal Trollers Association, we're hopeful that this rule can be rewritten, understandable by all. Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Steve. Well said. Okay, we're running late here, so we're going to move right into item number 12 is the last before we break into executive session. And
hey, Mike wants to say something.
Oh, you want to say something?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to make sure that the record reflected some accuracy with respect to the number of take-home fish I represented the trollers took home. I underreported. The number is 1,953 over a five-year period. So I think I underreported by 500 or 600 fish.
Thank you.
So I just gave you the Chinook number the first time. That's Chinook and Coke.
Okay. There's no citation for you.